Good evening. Welcome to the Solaire Report. Today is March 17, 2016. I'm Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening. We had a great time in Memphis last night at Campaign for Liberty. Thank you to the subscribers who came out. It was a very fine audience. April 30th, lunch with Richard Dolan at the 21 Club in New York. There's still tickets. That's going to be an amazing event, not just Richard talking about his new book on false flags, but a great group of subscribers, some of whom met each other last year. We had a blast, so this one's going to be good too. Our theme tonight is Introducing Surveillance Capitalism. A retired Harvard professor, Shoshona Zuboff, has written a piece called The Secrets of Surveillance Capitalism, and I really think she's coined a very important term. She's writing a book that'll come out early next year. I'm looking forward to it, but I think her tease article really captures the idea. I want to read some parts to it. You can find it up on the website. We put it in the commentary. Quote, governmental control is nothing compared to what Google is up to. The company is creating a wholly new genus of capitalism, a system coherent new logic of accumulations we should call surveillance capitalism. A whole new subspecies of capitalism in which profits derive from unilateral surveillance and the modification of human behavior. Surveillance capitalism is a novel economic mutation bred from the clandestine coupling of the vast powers of the digital with the radical indifference and intrinsic narcissism of the financial capitalism and its neoliberal vision that have dominated commerce for at least three decades, especially in the Anglo communities. It is an unprecedented market form that roots and flourishes in lawless spaces. It was first discovered and consolidated at Google, then adopted by Facebook, then diffused across the internet. Cyberspace was its birthplace because, as Eric Schmidt and Jared Cohen celebrate on the very first page of their book about the digital age, the online world is not truly bound by terrestrial laws. It's the world's largest ungoverned space. She quotes a great quote from an auto insurance industry consultant. Quote, most Americans realize there are two groups of people who are monitored regularly as they move about the country. The first group is monitored involuntarily by a court order requiring a tracking device that is attached to their ankle. The second group includes everyone else. Another great quote, in our time, Google is to surveillance capitalism what Ford and General Motors were to mass production. One of the reasons that many commentators kept saying the economy was going to collapse, and I kept saying it was going to slow burn, it reflects a deep understanding of the power of what can be done with quote-unquote unilateral surveillance, not just by the government, but by many of the private large companies, both telecommunications and search engines and social media. And so I think this is a very important article. I encourage you to read it. Again, it's up at Solaire. But it reminds us that technology is racing ahead, and it's racing further and further ahead of the law. Whether it's the drones that are going to go up this year, probably, or artificial intelligence, or what's happening with robotics, we're watching a greater and greater part of the most powerful economy in the world move into spaces really much faster and ahead of the law. It's ultimately why I believe Snowden was probably an op designed to checkmate NSA and the government relative to the private surveillance capitalism industry. As I said, Zuboff is publishing a book on this subject in early 2017, and I'm going to make sure I read and review that when it comes out. Money and markets. The Fed meeting, I was surprised. Yellen came out, soft as a dove. No interest rate rises for now. It looks like whatever happens this year is going to be weak. Now, I'm not looking at the same data they are, so maybe they see something I don't, but I was hoping for a little bit of a bump or a little bit less dovish stance, because I think it's very critical to wean the economy off of the financial methadone. And I hate to see the central banks literally buy up all bonds, all stocks, all assets. It's the it's the ultimate in socialization. Anyway, but very much came out like a dove. And the dollar, speaking of birds took a swan dive. The dollar's now down 4% for the year, and that's pretty strong. Bonds, the corporate bond aggregate now up almost 2.5% for the year. The long treasury holding at 7.22%, despite what the dovishness of Yellen's position. Junk is now in the positive of 2.85%. That's really because the oil has come up. We now see the S&P and the Dow in the black with more methadone. They traded up. The DAX, the German 30, is still down. It's in euros. It's down almost 8% for the year. China is now down 5.2%. That's a big improvement for where they've been. The developed markets now down 1.9%. The emerging markets, the strongest markets of the year so far, up 5.16%. And that's despite China dragging that kind of indicator down. Gold's still strong, and with the Yellen announcement, that's going to help gold and silver. So gold's at 18.4%, silver now up almost 15% for the year. Oil has improved a lot. It's now down only 9.5% for the year. And the commodities index in the positive now up 0.79% for the year. So I've been getting a lot of requests for more support on place-based financial information. And, of course, one question I always get on the campaign is, what can I do? So I'm going to try again. I wrote an open letter to my congressman about place-based financial statements and what a congressman can do. It's now up at Saleri.com. And I'll tell you what you can do. You can send this into your congressman and go to the town hall meeting and start lobbying them. The wonderful thing about this idea for a congressman, it doesn't require new law, doesn't require new regulations, and it doesn't require any appropriations. And if you look at the agencies, they have plenty of money administratively to perform and do all of these things. Now, it's interesting. This weekend, I was getting fear porn about Homeland Security putting Washington under a lockdown. And twice now, for 2 days in a row, we've tried to fax this to my Congresswoman, Marsha Blackburn, but also CC it to that wonderful Marcy Kaptur. And literally, the faxes will not go through. So I don't know what's going on in Washington, but I'm going to keep an eye. I also took the series that I wrote over the last year called Promoting Women. It's seven blog posts or seven commentaries string together. And every time I get angry about the topic, I'll add to it. I expect it to be an ongoing series. We've made it public to just help you share it. So it's a reminder during the campaign, don't fall for the divide and conquer. We're also going for accountability. I said I was going to spend no time on the campaign, but now I've failed completely. As I said last week, and I've written a series of commentaries. If you haven't read the Kingsman campaign, which I wrote last week, I really encourage you to do that because it's the most important information you need to know to understand what has been going on with the campaign. But I put up another one called Tweeting the Campaign Away. Donald Trump was talking about the problems with protesters at his rallies, and Hillary Clinton tweeted out that it's an example of, I forget what she said, but sort of lawlessness. So I sort of tweeted out a reminder as a reply to her tweet that if you look at her record on being lawful, it's not very good. And I linked to Sam Smith's Clinton scandal archives, which are quite wonderful and robust if you haven't seen them and you're interested. And then also tweeted the video of Ray McGovern being beaten up and thrown out and arrested from one of her press conferences. So, you know, people who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. Anyway, but then Donald Trump tweeted out a criticism in the New York Times. So I wrote back and said, I tweeted back, I replied to his saying, well, the New York Times did it to me too, but the reporter said it was your guy, Roger Stone, doing the lying. Because he's got Roger Stone hanging around him, and Stone is one of the most lawless players I ever ran into in Washington. So there's nothing like accountability in the process. Also, I did two book reviews this week on the South China Sea, and they're also up on the Salieri report, this the U.S. military's pivot to Asia and what is happening in the South China Sea is incredibly important to geopolitical and economic standing around the world, but very much important to the United States as a reserve currency. Mario Rubio said during the campaign, very rightly so, quoting one of the Wall Street Journal editorials, that our problem was that our friends no longer trusted us and our enemies no longer respected us. And the South China Sea is a very big, big hot spot in terms of both our friends and our enemies. And it's going to be a very important part of the world, just get more important as China and Asia grows. So I would encourage you to take a look at that, because I tried to give a sort of a nice little summary on why it's so important. China's on an acquisition binge. One of the Chinese insurance companies just lobbed in a $13 billion bid for Starwood Hotels and Resorts, which had just agreed to a sale with Marriott. That's on top of their $43 billion, or the Chinese company's $43 billion bid, successful bid for Swiss company Syngenta, and another bid that just went in on Strategic Hotel and Resources for $6.5 billion. So far this year, remember it's March 17th, Chinese companies have agreed to spend $102 billion purchasing foreign companies, and that's nearly the record $106 billion that they spent in all of 2015. So imagine if this case pace keeps up. So it's going to be very interesting to see how China manages the globalization of capital both in and out. A couple dire warnings about China and China going to collapse in their property market collapse this week. I'm a skeptic. I think China has a lot more economic energy than the doomsayers are calling for. Our hero this week is the president of the Kansas City Fed, who was the lone voice at the Fed meetings this week to raise interest rates. When you're in a position like that, it takes a lot of courage to be the lone voice. I wish there were more there, and I wish we weren't so afraid of letting markets adjust. Anyway, Esther George, the one vote for raising interest rates. I would like to also know a big black mark, and it's a big black mark with a question mark. Schwab and Company, I've always had my brokerage, or for the last couple of years, I've had my brokerage account at Schwab and Company. Schwab is out in the marketplace with huge ads in the Wall Street Journal, big banners on Yahoo Finance, touting a webinar with Alan Greenspan, referring to him as a financial rock star. And I couldn't get over this. For a couple reasons. One is, if you look at the bailout periods, in survey after survey, the number one person in the American population's mind to blame for the housing bubble was Alan Greenspan. And so here's a guy who's widely considered to be the person most responsible for engineering a housing and debt bubble. And Schwab is touting him as someone who should, you know, they're basically smashing Alan Greenspan all over their brand. And you think, haven't they read the polls? Don't they see what is happening with people coming out for Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump? The latest polls say 65% of the country say the country is headed in the wrong direction. People are unbelievably angry. The cracks in the official reality are getting wider and wider. And so the fact that Schwab doesn't know that Alan Greenspan is not the kind of face they want if they're going to try and get people to trust the financial system. And I sent them an email. I'm also going to put it up on the website. And in the email, I said, let me read it to you. Alan Greenspan is a financial rock star, ? Why? Because he engineered a housing and debt bubble. Have you heard nothing of the anger in this country? The latest polls say 65% of the country is headed in the wrong direction. It is hard to shock me these days, but your latest ad campaign and webinar has me shocked. My biggest challenge is persuading people that they can trust the financial system. You just made it that much harder. So Schwab is basically saying, you know, we embrace and promote crony capitalism. We embrace and promote the people who engineered the housing and debt bubble. I can't imagine that being effective from a marketing standpoint. I can't imagine Schwab making this kind of mistake. And you look at it and you think, have they lost their minds? If the boomers and Gen X blame him for the housing bubble, and the millennials certainly wouldn't relate to him as a rock star, where's the juice? And you get the feeling that the elite is having a brain fog. And when you see what's happening in Washington with the establishment angry and frustrated about Trump and Sanders, you know, I used to always say that people who get rich in a protected system, in a rigged system, get stupid. If you look at the Schwab board, it has a remarkably high average age. Maybe they're just too protected to know, but there's something missing, and I have a big question mark about it. But I think people underestimate the amount of anger that's headed back into whether it's financial or political centers. Ask Catherine, a lot of great links this week, including somebody sending me the one on the Chinese acquisitions hitting record, which I think is a very, very important story this week. Dear Catherine, I've heard your recent interviews on Caravan to Midnight and Coast to Coast. I am in agreement with what you report and have become a new subscriber to your website. Then they sent a confidential question, which I answered by a direct email. Thank you for your insightful articles and interviewing your website and telling it like it really is. Well, thank you for subscribing. Catherine, no special insight, just my personal musing about tattoos. It seems the dye could be a permanent insult to the immune system. The body must have to mount some sort of defense against this, and the needles used to deliver the design may be a temporary insult. P.S. You should be the hero of the month. The round of interviews you've done the past few weeks have been outstanding, and so glad to see an interview with Dr. Hamamoto on the schedule. Dear Catherine, with all the money being spent from black budgets on projects that are being kept secret, doesn't this mean that the companies being hired to work on these projects are receiving money that's never being reported to the shareholders? Maybe, maybe not. It's one of the reasons I keep bringing up the ability of the National Security Advisor to waive SEC rules. That's a power that was created in the second Bush administration, and it's one that's really got me concerned. What it may mean is their earnings are being reported for, their real earnings are doing something different than what's being reported. So their underlying business may not be as profitable as it looks, or it could just be that they're not reporting those earnings. And it might help to explain some of the price earnings ratios we're seeing in some of those companies. But it's very disconcerting, yes, because when it means you're looking at their SEC documents, you're also looking at a company that by the power of the government, they can waive all of the SEC rules, but that's not noticed in the SEC document. You know, they ought to have a disclaimer saying this company may or may not receive waivers from the NSA to waive compliance with NSA laws. Dear Catherine, if you were the person making all the laws would you put in place around outsourcing U.S. jobs overseas? Obviously, it's a much more complicated topic, but three key points. First of all, I would require U.S. government contracts and some purchases as well to be insourced as long as unemployment rates were above a target rate. And the goal would be to minimize costs to the taxpayers. If you're paying people here not to work when they could be doing the jobs that you're outsourcing abroad, it's not financially efficient across public and private sectors. So there's no point in running up the cost to the taxpayers to pay people not work so that a private corporation who you pay can go abroad. It doesn't make sense. Anyway, so that would be number one. The second thing is I would require classified technology to be insourced unless someone had a special waiver. So that's number two. Finally, the third thing I would do, which would not necessarily be political popular this year, is I would provide a residency pathway to anybody who graduated from U.S. college or graduate school, because I think we need to keep recycling the top entrepreneurial talent, and having them stay here is going to make everyone, all of us, richer. And we're a country that's always been accessible for top talent from around the world. That's one of our great strengths, and I would encourage that. Hi, Catherine. I really appreciate your site. It's the best. Are you aware Sybil Edmonds is starting an independent news site? I heard her interviewed about it on Joyce Riley's Power Hour. It sounds great, as we would be expected from Sybil. Here's the link. Yes, Soleri made a crowdfunding donation, and that's Sybil and some of her colleagues, and I'm sure it's going to be a great site, so I would encourage you to also contribute. Every week or two, we can make a donation to a crowdfunding or other effort to do some great thing, and we'll put it up in Top Picks so that you can see a steady flow of who we're trying to support. And of course, we do our big donations at Christmas. So we always post those on the website. And if you want to get some great ideas, there's so many great groups to give to. Also, from what I know, the Christian Health Sharing Ministries are a great way to get medical insurance and be able to actually employ health preventative care instead of being shoved into the medical industrial complex. And they avoid having to pay the Obamacare fine. From what I've seen, Liberty HealthShare is the best of organizations. I'm really curious if you have investigated these and what you think. Liberty is $200 a month for a million max coverage with $500 a year deductible. It allows expenses for alternative medicine. It pays for a yearly checkup. I haven't investigated them, but I'm very interested in that, and I will. Here's their website in case you're not familiar with the organization, libertyhealthshare.org. Thank you, and keep up the good work. I'm a member of Samaritan Ministries, but I have not researched these, but I will, and I really appreciate it because I think these are some pretty great groups. P.S. Your interview with John Rappaport was great, especially in the public schools. I worked as a high school science teacher for over 30 years. Behind the California curtain, I actually led an effort to try and convert our high school to a charter school and was attacked. After the system killed it, they actually hired an investigator to show that I had stolen $12 from a candy sale to raise money for students who couldn't afford to pay for the AP test. Just as with you and Sybil, I got inside and behind the curtain that the system is completely corrupt from the core. And they had a great quote on their email that I wanted to include. Remember that a government big enough to give you everything you want is also big enough to take away everything you have. Davy Crockett. Then I got another letter on the place-based financial information, and they requested that the letter be private. But I sent them the letter to my congressman that we've now posted on the website. So again, please take that letter and, you know, do it over in your own way and send it to your congressman, because I think if we could get a flood of letters going into Congress saying, hey, you know, this doesn't cost you any money and it could change the world, let's do it. And then someone writes, in your recent interview with Dr. Joseph P. Farrell, you mentioned that the Constitution was a 6,000-year-old document. Please educate me. How could it be 6,000-year-old? What have I missed? I either said or meant to say 6,000-year-old miracle, referring to a quote from Daniel Webster. Let me read it to you. Ronald Reagan quoted it at the swearing-in for Justice Scalia. The warning more than a century ago attributed to Daniel Webster remains as timeless as the document he revered. Miracles do not cluster, he said. Hold on to the Constitution of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands. What has happened once in 6,000 years may never happen again. Hold on to your Constitution, for if the American Constitution shall fall, there will be anarchy throughout the world. And then the writer continues, I've loved everything you do. Thank you. Oh, and when are you coming to have another weekend seminar with Joseph Farrell and subscribers? We have been planning lunches, not the seminars. The lunches seem to be more effective. Not everybody has enough time to come to a seminar, but we'll keep that in mind, certainly for probably not this year, but next year. Anyway, I want that on the list, so we'll certainly keep your name on the list. Dear Catherine, is there an offshore e-wallet that you may recommend? I've looked through privacy policies of the few. It seems most will share information. Some say they keep records of all transactions, while, as they say, I have nothing to hide. The sharing really bothers me. I like privacy. I would appreciate your advice. There is no offshore e-wallet that I trust, period. End of discussion. And essentially, everyone is now pretty much, with rare exception, under the thumb of sharing information with the U.S., but when things go electronically, they go through the various payment systems, so I don't think anything's private. I think the only way to get privacy is gold or cash or other valuables in your pocket or in a trustworthy depository. And so, in my opinion, nothing on the web or nothing digital is private or trustworthy. You know, there are just too many things that can go wrong. It's very, very important wherever you have a custodian that you have a custodian who has good governance, good disclosure, good management. If you do a search for the Solari Bank Intimate page, I have an article called How to Find a Good Local Bank, but it basically goes through the steps that you take and include many to where you trust an organization or an enterprise to be a depository, and it would apply to digital e-wallets as well. Okay, let's go to the movies. I am a great believer in chiropractors. I've had some pretty wonderful experiences with chiropractor. My first chiropractor, I was in my 30s and I had a bone spur and had been told that I had to have surgery, and I had scheduled surgery, and a friend of mine threw a hissy fit and said, "You've got to go see a chiropractor." And so I said, "Well, then you find one for me." And he did. He found Dr. Bruce Cooperstein is fantastic. He was in a little bit out of New York City. I guess he was in New York City then, and then went north of New York City to practice. And I walked into his office. He fixed it with manipulation. I had to go steadily for a while. Never had to have surgery, and until I left New York, most of my health care came through Dr. Bruce Cooperstein. But off and on, basically I've had chiropractors ever since, and whether a nutritionist or a chiropractor, I look to them much more for my health care than for most medical doctors. Anyway, if you look at the history of what the chiropractors have had to put up from the AMA, it's just, it's one of those incredible, amazing, horrible stories, and God bless them, they've prevailed. And finally, somebody has made a documentary about it, and it's really, it's just, it's so hard to believe it's really this bad, but it really has been this bad. And it's a good documentary, and it does tell the story, and it's just another reminder of there's so many wonderful, and chiropractors is a perfect thing. There's so many wonderful people in healthcare who just believe in helping people and telling the truth, and they're healers. And no matter what the system does to them, they just manage to break through. And it's very inspiring. Okay, our interview is speak of inspiring with a wonderful family business. The president, Dan Perkins, joins us. I was reading Bloomberg a couple of weeks ago, and there was an article about safe sales taking off because of negative interest rates. And it reminded me, with precious metals rising, if we have found a bottom or because of negative interest rates, it's just another round of reasons why people are going to want safes at home. And I have two huge walk-in safes, and I just find having good safes is a wonderful thing to have. I lived without them my whole life, and now I don't know how I managed to live without them, because as Dan tells you in the interview, and it's certainly my experience, you buy a safe for one thing, and then suddenly you discover many other needs. And then, when I bought the first big walk-in safe, I thought, "Oh my God, I'll never fill this up." And well, sure enough, I needed another big walk-in safe. Of course, one of the things I'm worried about is client files and fires and privacy. So I have a special need that most people don't have. But anyway, so I can't imagine at this point living without a safe. But Dan and his family have built a wonderful company in Memphis and just know everything there is to know about how to figure out what kind of safes you want, how to get them, where to put them. And it was a very fun interview because he's just a terrific guy and he really knows his business. So if you're interested in getting a safe, thinking about it, it's definitely worth listening to that interview. And if you want to have hidden safes, I would definitely recommend, particularly if you're in the sort of mid-south area. Okay, that's it for this week. In closing, great interview coming up. We have two coming up, and I may have to switch them because I'm interviewing Don Cox tomorrow. So we'll see which one I put up next week. But with Don, we're going to be talking about what's next, commodities and negative interest rates. And then Dr. Daryl Hamamoto, universities and high-level financial fraud. both wonderful, wonderful. I've already interviewed Dr. Hamamoto. That's fantastic. So we sort of talk about the university model, all the crazy things that are going on at the university now. Then April 7th, we're going to switch back the wrap-up, and we'll do the emerging multipolar world with the Saker. And then April 14th, we'll have the first quarter wrap-up and equity overview. We'll do a doubleheader. So until next week with either Dr. Daryl Hamamoto or Don Cox, please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, then you need to start one. Ladies and gentlemen, good night and good luck.